Our Bible passage this morning is found in Luke 8 from verse 16 to verse 21. Listen carefully to the word of God. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know that without ears opened by you, these words would do nothing for us. For in our sinfulness, we need the work of your Spirit to bring home the purpose and the meaning and apply it to our hearts. So help us, Lord, to hear and respond in a way that is appropriate. In Christ's name, amen. At first glance, the section I just read seems to have little connection with what came before, which was the parable of the sower. But if you look at chapter 8, you'll see that there's one theme that you find throughout these different incidents. And that theme is hearing the word of God. Remember, that's what the parable of the sower was all about. There were four types of hearers. Each heard the word of God. They heard the gospel. But only one was the type of hearer who responded correctly unto salvation. The rest heard, but they didn't really listen. And then you notice in our section, the first section I just read, verse 18, Christ says, take heed how you what? How you hear. And then down in the story of Jesus' mother and brothers, what does Jesus say? These are my brothers, mothers and brothers, those who what? Hear the word of God and do it. So that's the theme that ties these together. Jesus raises hearing to the highest level of importance. From human perspective, we could say that where you will spend eternity, heaven or hell, depends on how you hear the word of God. Now, the connection between the parable and this phrase about the light doesn't seem apparent till you remember that the expectation of the apostles, of the disciples, was that when God would establish his kingdom, that everything would be brought to light. In other words, there would be a clear distinction between those in God's kingdom and those outside of God's kingdom. After everything in the Old Testament was somewhat confusing because there were the righteous that lived in Israel, but they were the minority. And you really couldn't tell on the surface who really belonged to God. Now, there were markers as far as it being an Israelite. But as far as being true Israel, of being really a believer, they were all mixed together. Well, the understanding of the Jews was when God would establish his kingdom, that would end. There would be those that belonged to God, and they would be his, and everyone would see it. And then those outside of his kingdom, it would be obvious. Matter of fact, in Daniel 12:3, speaking of the coming kingdom, it says, "And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above." So with that expectation in mind, Jesus teaches a parable about the kingdom, but the parable says just the opposite of what they were expecting. The kingdom will arrive, but it will be inside people's hearts. Christ does not want an outward conformity to his law. He wants people who, from the heart, willingly serve him. And so the kingdom would be inward. But what that means is then, if it's only inward, you really couldn't tell who belonged to God and who didn't. Matter of fact, in the parable it says some will appear to receive the news of the kingdom. They'll even be excited about it, but it will not last. And it will not be genuine. They really didn't belong to God at all, but they will outwardly profess it. But they never really heard the word of God. Now, isn't that our experience? Some people make a big show of religion, but over time, what do you realize? Well, they really aren't genuine. Maybe they fall away or they prove themselves not genuine. Others don't seem to make much of a show, and you wonder, but they persevere their whole life, and they're genuine Christians. The point is, in this age, we don't read hearts. If the kingdom is inside people's hearts, you never really know for sure. Only God knows. Now, often Christian parents say the same thing, or they ask, I just want to know where my kid is at, especially adult children. Do they really know the Lord or don't they? And the answer is, you don't really know. Plead ignorance on this, parents, because you cannot read the heart. Only God can read the heart. So you can understand why the disciples are a bit confused. They're waiting for this decisive break where you'll see clearly who belongs to God. And yet this parable comes and says just the opposite. That even in this age, now that Christ has come, that there will be a church, a people of God, but some will know the Lord and some will not. Some will have the Spirit, some will not. And it won't be clear in this age who that is. Now we try to assume the best. We treat each other assuming the best. But things happen and we don't really know what's going on inside people's hearts. But Jesus has to explain to the disciples the discrepancy between what they thought the Old Testament said and what the kingdom will actually look like. And he does that in verse 16. Verse 16 is an axiom. An axiom is a statement so obvious you don't have to prove it. Everybody knows it. And the axiom is nobody lights a candle only to cover it up so nobody will see the light. The bed here is really a mat. It's another way to squash out the light. And so the only reason you would light a light at night in a dark place so everybody could see it. And so it would be real obvious where everything is. Now, what is Jesus' point? He's saying, I did not give people light. I did not make them mine only to hide them. I did not make them mine so nobody would ever know. In other words, this situation where you don't really know who belongs to God or not, this is a situation for this age. But there is coming a time, and now look at verse 17, nothing that is hidden now will stay secret. Nothing that is hidden will not one day be made manifest. And this is language throughout the New Testament of the second coming. So what he's saying is, all those prophecies will be true. There will be a time when all God's people will be known and vindicated, and it'll be very clear who belongs to God and who does not. They will shine like the stars. But what we've seen throughout, that there are two stages to Christ's coming. The first stage, this kingdom will be inward, and you won't really know exactly who is a believer. But in the second stage, everything will be made known. Everything will be brought to light. True believers will be glorified, and it'll be really clear when that separation happens. But for now, it's hidden. Excuse me. Paul writes this in Colossians 3, the same idea. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. But when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Hidden for now, full of glory and glorified when he appears. Now given this, Christ moves from that explanation to a warning in verse 18. Take care, therefore, how you hear the word. Do you see the connection? If there's no clear marker outwardly that tells you you're in Christ's kingdom, that you belong to God, how can you know? How can you know of those four different types of hearers in the parable that you're the good one? Well, the response is, listen to the word of God diligently and carefully. See, there's two types of listening, aren't there? You women who are married, you know this, right? There's two types of listening. You tell your husband something important, and he says, yeah, yeah, but you know he's not really listening. He hears your words, but he's not really listening enough to focus and then do something about it. There's that type of listening, and then there's listening, where what you say is really important to me, and I'm giving you my attention, not just to know what you're saying, but to be able to actually do something about it. Now, there's two types of listening to a sermon, isn't there? You can listen to a sermon because it's interesting. You can listen to a sermon because that's what you do at church. You have to sit through that portion where the guy goes up there and speaks, and you look at the clock, and you wait till you can leave and do something important. And you forget everything that was said because you've done your time. Or there's the listening where this is the word of God. This is my Savior speaking to me, not only with what to believe, but how to please him. This food is more important to me than earthly food because it's the food of the word of God. There's that type of listening. It's the listening that says, I need to listen to the word because I need to know about God. I need to know what he has said to me, how to be forgiven. I need to know how to please him. I need to know if what I've been believing has some error to it that I need to correct. I need to know if something I'm doing is wrong or what I need to do to glorify him. I want to hear about my Savior. See, that's the type of hearing that Christ is saying, be careful when you hear the word of God, that you approach the word this way. If you approach the word this way and you're listening, then you can know that you're one of God's people. You're in his kingdom. Because when you hear the Bible, you adjust your views according to the word. When the Bible convicts you, you confess your sins to God and you begin to work on it. The Bible encourages you. And so there's a living, active exchange between you hearing it and then responding. But if you simply listen to it, but it really doesn't mean much to you, then notice the next axiom. This one takes a little explanation. Jesus says, for the one who has, more will be given. The one who does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Now, the one who has is the one with the good heart, who really is sincerely listening to the word of God. He says, for that person, God will give you more grace, more strength. He will continue to give you what you need spiritually. And when Christ returns, you will be acquitted. You will be vindicated as a genuine believer. And you are safe with him forever. Now, the one who does not have a good heart, that's really listening to the word of God, and even what he thinks he has will be taken away. In other words, he'll stand before God and he'll think, well, I know I'm safe because I sat in church for years. And I even tried to be a nice person. I gave to charity a few times. And Christ says, I never knew you. You never really listened to me. And so what you think you have that'll help you stand before God will be taken away. Now, I often tell you, and this is why, that the most important aspect of your Christian life is coming to hear the word of God preached. It is the very center of your life. It's how you hear it It's how you're fed more than anything else. And how you respond to that and how you listen determines your life with God. Think of throughout the Old Testament. What is God always calling out to the people of Israel? Oh, Israel, if you only would listen to me. If you only take my words seriously. Now, if you go to the next story, Jesus confirms exactly what he said here. Jesus' mother and brothers are outside the house as Jesus is speaking this. There's a huge crowd outside that wants Jesus to come back out and perform more miracles. These are the ones who really aren't listening to what he actually has to say. But Jesus' mother and brothers want to see him. By the way, you know in Roman Catholic theology, Jesus doesn't really have brothers or sisters because Mary was a virgin. But that certainly isn't true. These are genuine brothers that from Joseph and Mary after Christ was born from a virgin. So there's no reason to do gymnastics with this passage. But they want to see him, and so they can't get through the crowds. They send a messenger that he would come out and greet them. When Jesus hears the request from his family, what does he say? He points to the genuine believers, and remember why they were there. Remember last week, they were there for him to explain the parable of the sower. The rest of the people blew it off right away. Well, we don't understand. We don't really care what he said. We would like a miracle, though. But these are the people that came inside and said, explain to us the parable of the sower. We really want to know what this means. And Jesus says to the messenger, these are my mothers and brothers. These are the ones who hear the word of God and then do it. They respond in faith and obedience. Now, what is Jesus saying? He's saying that circumcision, that Old Testament marker that said you were in God's kingdom, really doesn't mean you truly belong to God. What shows you truly belong to God is that you hear his word and respond like these people were. Not nationality, not anything outward, but how you hear the word. Your word is his word is your life. That means you're part of his family if this is you. But know what he's also saying. He's saying that those who really believe, those who hear the word, are part of my spiritual family that I came to redeem forever. And notice which family Christ gives priority to. His spiritual family or his natural family? His spiritual family. This takes priority because Jesus is clear. The natural family is temporary. The spiritual family lasts forever. So what we learn from Christ is that spiritual ties are more valuable than physical ties. That was true for Christ, and that must be true for all who belong to Christ. Now, this is important to say in a time of family idolatry in the church, where everything is so focused on natural family. How many people in the church will defend their natural family to death, but they will jump over and criticize anything anyone in their church family does? Their priority is clearly their natural family. How many are always missing church? Because why? Because of something with their natural family. We can ignore the spiritual family for our natural family. Now, Jesus does teach responsibility to our natural families. The Bible is clear. Your elderly parents, they have need. You are to take care of them. You surely are to take care of your children. You are to honor your parents. But he also teaches a priority of his spiritual family over his natural family. And those who hear the word of God, those who accept its teachings, who really believe it, they recognize this. They recognize in Christ, I have been transferred to a new family. While I still love and have obligations to the old, that's not really what life is all about. Now my Christian life gives me a new family. And I need to take that seriously if I believe what the Bible teaches. So let me summarize this. What you are doing right now is very dangerous. What you do on Sunday by coming to church is very dangerous. By placing yourself under the Word of God, it is dangerous because you have a great privilege. You know, most people in the world don't have the privilege you do to hear the Word of God explained on a regular basis. So when God gives you this great privilege, what else does He require of you? Responsibility. Now you have the responsibility to believe it and to follow it, to act upon it. Not just to come to church and hear it, but go away as if you never heard it. But really listen to what God's Word says. Because either one of two things is happening when God's Word is preached. Either God is strengthening you, and He's encouraging you, and He's conforming you to His Son. Or if you hear it over and over, and you're not really listening, He's hardening you to where you're going to not hear it anymore. And so your eternity depends on really one question from an earthly perspective. And that is, how do you listen to God's Word? Let's pray.